How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare at WrestlingObserver.com. So much news to talk about today, and it's a very interesting day as this show is pre-recorded. In fact, it's pre-recorded a day before it airs on Sports Byline USA and Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 92. Why? Well, a lot of things. The ROH pay-per-view, which is almost over as of the time you're listening to this, was actually airing at the time we normally record the show. Therefore, we had to go a little bit earlier, which actually throws this entire show into disarray. Because hours before we recorded this show, word came out that Nate Marquardt has been pulled from UFC on Versus, which airs tonight on Versus. And of course, that's very interesting because Nate Marquardt, and this could also change as well, based on the time of recording this update, many things could be changing by the time you listen to this, but there was scheduled to be a Spike TV all-day Nate Marquardt marathon. Really, all-day Nate Marquardt. The funny thing is, it was running head-to-head with the UFC on Versus show, headlined by Nate Marquardt. Nate Marquardt then got pulled from the show. Not only did Nate Marquardt get pulled from the show, but Dana White announced he would never work for the UFC again. Actually, those were not his exact words. He is no longer with the UFC, I believe, is what Dana said. Now, we had a lot of choices about what to do. We could either do this show, we could air a replay show, we could talk about something that we know nothing about that could probably be outdated by the time most of you listen to this, or we could just do a brand new show, or maybe even a show talking about something that had nothing to do with the news of the week. We decided we're going to do this show. We're going to talk about all the news. If this show happens to be outdated in terms of what happened with Nate Marquardt, well, tonight on WrestlingObserver.com, Dave Meltzer and I will give you all of the updates on what actually happened. So, we're not going to talk a lot about Nate here. We'll talk a little bit about it. But he is scheduled, or he was scheduled, as of the time we're recording this, to do an update shortly before the Versus show went on the air, immediately after this show goes off the air. So we'll talk about that, plus all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. This is going to be quite the show today. So check it out after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And as noted at the start of this show has been pre-recorded. Some of the stuff you are listening to may be outdated as of the time you're listening to this, which actually should probably make for a more entertaining show. But hours before we began recording this, and Saturday night, actually, word broke, Saturday afternoon, in fact, that Nate Marquardt had been pulled from UFC on Versus, which he is headlining tonight on Versus, of course. He was scheduled to be headlining against Rick Story. Rick the Horror Story. That fight is now off. Now, as of the time we were recording this update, it may very well still be the case as of the time you're listening to this update, we don't know why he's been pulled. A lot of different people speculating about a lot of different things. All we know as of the moment that we recorded this is that he is scheduled, or he was scheduled, to make an announcement moments before UFC on Versus went on the air. 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, which is, in fact, immediately after the show goes off the air. So, Mike, when you first heard the story that Nate Marquardt was being pulled at, by the way, on the same day that Spike TV was running a Nate Marquardt marathon, what were you thinking?
Initially, because all I heard was he was pulled, was he must have not have made weight. And that was the first thing I had thought of. And then very quickly after that, it came out that it had nothing to do with weight whatsoever, and had something to do with something in his medicals. Dana White has just come out and said he failed his medicals. And not only is he out of this fight, what threw everybody off was he said he will no longer be with the UFC. Now, what does that mean? And that's why it's leading to so much speculation. And obviously, even though the Versus show, pre-show, is not technically the UFC's, obviously Ariel Helwani is friendly with the UFC. And basically, it's been an extension of the shows that have aired on there since the closing days of WEC. So he's going to be on there tonight giving some sort of statement here as to why. So it's very interesting. It's kind of amazing in that let's face facts. Nothing against Nate Marquardt or Nate Marquardt fans, but for the most part, if you ask the average MMA fan out there, they don't really care about Nate Marquardt. And UFC was doing a lot, obviously, this weekend, as you had said in the opening, of putting on a best of Nate Marquardt, and he was obviously main eventing against Rick Story tonight, and it was supposedly he was going to do that, and obviously they went out of their way, and it's just, it'll be interesting to see, you know, once this show is over and once we find out exactly what has happened here, exactly what's gone down and why he's going to be out of the UFC, because Sean Sherk has tested positive for steroids. Guys have tested positive for drugs. They haven't immediately been dropped. Why in this case is he going to be out? I guess time is going to tell here.
We shall soon find out. The show, which is taking place a little bit later on this evening, UFC on Versus. The main event, of course, has now been changed. It was originally Marquardt versus Story. It is now Rick Story versus Charlie Brenneman, which means Rick Story is out of the main event. New main event of the show is Chick Congo versus Pat Barry. There's also a John Howard, Matt Brown fight, Matt Mitrione versus Christian Moorcraft, and a number of names on the undercard. Tyson Griffin, Manny Gambierian, Joe Stevenson, Joe Lazan, Rich Attenito, Nick Lentz, Charles Oliveira. A lot of names, and looking like a very good card. The prelims on Facebook and the top four matches are going to be airing on Versus. And what are your thoughts on this card?
Actually, I like this show a lot. This is one of those ones that, you know, people are probably going to look at the rating for it, and, it, you know, who knows, on a Sunday, I don't know what it's going to do. Let's just say it's an 0.7 or something like that, which is, you know, something that in a lot of people's eyes may look bad, but I'm sure Versus will be more than happy with. I'm not sure if they have any, you know, Tour de France coverage to get ready for or anything like that that may be taking up time right now. But now that the NHL is over, there's no Formula One races on Sunday night or anything like that. I'm sure they're going to be happy with the rating, but people will probably point and snicker at it. But it's one of those things where you got to support the show, because when you look at who's on it, I mean, it's, you know, the odds are it's going to be exciting. When has Joe Stevenson been in that many bad fights? I mean, Matt Mitrione has been a knockout machine so far, and obviously with his goofy personality and his ability to get himself over, he's been fun to watch. And, you know, Barry and Congo, that's pretty much a guarantee somebody's going to get knocked out. Manny Gamburian's been fun to watch. So it's one of those shows that obviously it's not going to be real flashy. It's one of those shows that people bitch and moan about and say, well, God, there's way too much oversaturation of UFC programming. But, you know, when you just take it for what it is, it's their first show in Pittsburgh. They get to open up a new market, and you get to sit back and watch what's probably going to be a pretty entertaining show.
Are you surprised at names like Joe Stevenson, Tyson Griffin, Manny Gamburian all on the undercard?
Very much so. And yeah, I'm actually really surprised about that. I mean, obviously, Marquardt and Story, I mean, they wouldn't have been in my main event, but, you know, I understand why. Barry Congo, obviously, you want to have on the main card. I think Griffin and Gamburian, I think, is. But, yeah, why they can't fit some of the other ones on there, I'm not quite sure. But I guess if you have a Facebook account, which, if you do, you should probably friend Brian Alvarez, because he's got two Facebooks now. He's so popular. But, you know, as long as you have a Facebook, I guess, you can go ahead and watch those fights on there, and then later on watch them on UFC.tv.
Now, this might be I mean, when you look at the UFC roster and then adding in the WEC roster and now adding in the, well, actually the Strikeforce guys are still for the time being separate, but you've got the UFC and the WEC roster, and that's a lot of people under contract and a lot of guys that have got to fight three times a year. So it may get to the point where down the road, we regularly see guys of the level of Tyson Griffin, Joe Stevenson, Manny Gamburian, Joe Lazan, etc., on the undercards of these shows, just because they need to fight on events, and there's only five matches per pay-per-view. And in fact, you know, when you talk about all the main events, whether they're title fights or not, being five rounds coming up starting in the fall, then when you look at the TV cards, where you've only got a two-hour block, sometimes a three-hour block with commercials, you know, you're probably going to have one less fight on those shows. So the number of guys fighting undercards is going to increase dramatically, which is interesting. Let's actually talk about that very quickly, because I want to get your thoughts. I have some on five-round fights, but what are your thoughts on the five-round decision?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week with the Overeem-Verdum fight. I mean, you get the pros and the cons of it. I mean, the pro is, obviously, if you've got a hot three-round fight going on, you know, for a contendership position, especially where two guys are really fighting for what could be a number one contender spot. Obviously, you'd want that fight to keep going on. You know, fights where it looks like a guy's been turning the tide and looks like if he just had a little bit more time, it's great. But obviously the drawback when the fight stinks, when it's, you know, if, you know, and obviously the names to throw out there, always, just, well, God, now I'm brain logging here. John Fitch. Great example is John Fitch. Do you want to see John Fitch, wrestle for two more rounds? You know, when you get into situations like that, you know, Frankie Edgar style where, you know, people don't want to see them for more than they absolutely have to see them. They respect them, but they don't want to see them fight anymore. That's going to be the problem with it. And it's just one of those things but I think it's a good idea for the main events. Obviously, you want to try to have a main event that's going to be exciting, but it's just one of those things. Sometimes guys have a bad night, and it's going to be a bad night just for 10 more minutes.
You know, one thing I hadn't really thought about but was brought to my attention is when you look at the cards, and sometimes on TV they'll promote four fights or five fights depending on how much time they've got. And if you now have to take some of these fights and remove them from the show, if your main events are all going to be three rounds, I mean, when we look at the show here tomorrow night, obviously that didn't take place here, but based on how much time they have, they're putting four fights on television. And they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fights on the undercard. Now, granted, yes, you can go on Facebook and watch these shows, but there's a reason that nobody listening to this has ever heard the numbers, the number of Facebook viewers that watch these matches. The reason for that is because there are very, very few. There are very, very, very few people that are watching all of these fights on Facebook. Yes, you might do it. Yes, you might know a couple of friends. But we're talking very, very, very hardcore UFC fans that are watching these fights on Facebook. So, really, if a great fight happens on the undercard of this show, Joe Lauzon has a great fight, or Joe Stevenson has a great submission, or Tyson Griffin knocks some dude out, and the main matches all go near the limit, you're not going to see any of those things. Which means those guys who had the potential to become stars with a great performance, or a great submission, or a great knockout, they have less of a chance of becoming stars right now. And down the road, that might become a serious issue. I want to get your thoughts on this when we come back from the break. Of course, we got a lot more to talk about pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are talking five-round fights versus three-round fights, how this plays into the Versus show, which does, in fact, have a stacked undercard this evening. But if you're not watching the fights on Facebook and all the main card matches go the limit, you're not going to see any of those fights. And we're talking about how that affects the star-making process. If a guy has a great fight on the undercard, but because title matches and non-title matches in main events are all going to go five rounds now, we might see less fighters on television. That's less guys that can become stars. And Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
I think there's ways around it. Obviously, it hurts a little bit, but what they can do, obviously, in most cases where they fill time, and say a guy gets knocked out in the third round, but they have time, maybe they show, you know, the entire fight. I could see them cutting it down to where you only would see the third round or only see the deciding round if they run into those issues. But what they can also do is, because they hear it on Facebook, because I think they've also utilized Ustream.tv as well, as far as doing their stuff, what they can do is throughout the, if they know they're going to be up against it as far as the time goes, all you have to do is announce earlier on there was a great fight on the undercard. Obviously, there might be blood or something in the ring that might show it, where you hint at it, you bring it up. If you look like you're not going to get it in time, put up some graphics. You know, hey, immediately after this, go to the UFC website, watch the live streaming press conference, and watch this fight that you missed that was awesome. And then you use all your outlets to keep, you know, putting that fight out there and make it more of a viral thing. And this is where the UFC is lucky, too. I mean, probably more than any other major sport right now. And I'm, for the issue of this conversation, I'm considering UFC a major sport along with baseball and football and all that other stuff. You know, their fan base is probably the most, probably have the highest acumen as far as, you know, being computer literate and streaming things and watching things and having that knowledge to go out there and do that. So I think you can still create stars that way. You just might have to go that direction when you look like you're running out of time. But you know, again, since they are taping all these things, there's always a place you can fit it in on the card in there somewhere. They can donk off an interview. They can do something where they can fit it in there. And again, even if they do run out of time, I think, again, I think they have the ability to continue to create stars. You know, the 10 minutes that they'll lose, putting on top of a main event going five rounds, I don't think is really going to affect really all too much.
Problem with that, and that leads us into our discussion of ROH, is we're still talking about a platform that is not available to the masses. Yes, Facebook is available to the masses, but again, you're sitting there, you've got to watch it on your computer. I mean, it sounds great probably to our audience, but when you look around at the casual audience, they're not going on Facebook, and it's tough to get them to sit in front of the... I mean, you talk about like ROH when they were on HDNet. You know, the best internet pay-per-view numbers they ever did were about 1,900 fans. Okay, you know, TNA can do, you know, a bad TNA pay-per-view, a horrible TNA pay-per-view is going to do 8,000 buys. And, you know, TNA is doing 1.5 million viewers, and 8,000 buys is pretty horrible. But still, they're getting 8,000 buys. It's on traditional pay-per-view. You talk about WWE, they're doing, you know, anywhere from 100,000 to 200,000 buys on pay-per-view, because you just go on your TV, you turn on your TV, you click a button, you get to order the show. Yes, it's easy if you have a fast internet connection. It's easy if you've got a good computer to just watch the stuff on your computer, especially if you're the kind of person that grew up watching things on the computer. But that's not the masses right now. And that leads us to ROH, which, as of the time you listen to this, the show is nearly over. But it is airing on iPay-Per-View. Started at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And the point of all of this is that I went out last night and I bought a Roku box. And I'm going to hook it up, and it's going to allow me to watch ROH on my television. Now, I used to watch ROH iPay-Per-Views on my television. I hooked up the HDMI cable from my computer to the TV, and I watched on there, and it was fine, and I did it because I had to, but quite frankly, it really was no fun. And I enjoy, you know, I like Dragon Gate USA, but I didn't watch their last couple of shows. They're doing pretty much every show that Dragon Gate USA does now is going to end up on the internet, on WWNLive.com. They're streaming all of their pay-per-views. But I didn't watch the last couple of shows because, quite frankly, it's really inconvenient to either watch them on the computer or have to hook up my laptop to the computer. Yes, it can be done. Yes, it's not that hard for me, but... personally, I usually like to write a report. I like to type a report when I'm watching these shows. And when I hook up my laptop to the TV, my laptop is unavailable. So I can't type my report. And there are a lot of people, the kind of people that are willing to watch internet pay-per-views are also the kind of people that like to mess around on the computer when they're watching shows. Maybe they'll be watching TV, they'll be watching Raw, they'll be watching SmackDown, and they'll have their laptop there. And they're surfing the internet, and they're looking around, and that sort of thing. You know, they're not writing reports like I am, but they're messing around on their Facebook, or they're doing whatever. And your laptop is unavailable for 3 hours when you're hooking your laptop up to the TV to watch this event. So to me, the Roku box is great. I hook it up. I can watch the ROH pay-per-view live on the Roku box. I've got my laptop available. Everything is great. You can watch Netflix, a bunch of other stuff. Unfortunately, Dragon Gate USA is not available on the Roku box yet. Hopefully it will be at some point. But the point of all of this is, yes, I have figured out a way to make this work for me, but I'm still in the vast, vast, vast minority. And that's still the problem today. I mean, you go back 10, 15 years and people talked about how the internet was the wave of the future. And quite frankly, it probably is. But it's still got a ways to go. And Dragon Gate USA, for example, has found a way to make themselves profitable by starting their own streaming company and putting their events online, and that's all great. But we're still several years away from being able to essentially run without TV and being very, very successful. And that's a problem that UFC and ROH are both facing, and Dragon, everybody.
Yeah, but you know, I think you're overthinking it a little bit. When it comes to the UFC, especially, and look, I don't even have a Facebook. That's why I was so happy last time around. I can't remember if it was Yahoo or Ustream where they actually ran the undercard for the last show, because I don't have a Facebook account. But I with all of their other pay-per-views, all of their other programming on Spike and on Versus, and obviously Versus is just going to increase as time goes on. because of all those other outlets, they're still not going to have a problem making stars. I mean, that's, you know, flat out. Now, when it comes to Ring of Honor Dragon Gate, look what the other option is. The other option is Dragon Gate USA already tried pay-per-view, traditional pay-per-view, didn't bite. And obviously, what you're saying is 100% correct. I mean, I'm in a quandary now. I kind of made fun of Dave Meltzer as far as, you know, Japanese stuff. Somebody will send me a DVD or something like that or get it to me. He still needs to actually sit there and watch it on TV, which boggles my mind. With that said, I have trouble reading books on my Nook. It's almost like, you know, I'm not even getting use out of my Nook because I'm not reading books on it because I've always been a person that had to sit down and just read a book. So I do understand where you're coming from as far as that technology is not there, but they really don't have any other choice, to be honest with you, right now, because they're going to get lost in the mix on a traditional station. Now we'll have to see what happens with Ring of Honor, but you know, they've tried traditional pay-per-view. Dragon Gate's tried traditional pay-per-view. It's not there for themselves, so this is their best opportunity. Obviously, Ring of Honor now with Sinclair, it's, you know, something a little bit different, but what other choice do these promotions have other than to do this and reach out to their fan base and hope that their fan base keeps spreading the word of it, because there's just no other choice.
Oh, listen, I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong. I actually think they're doing everything right. They're approaching a future technology and trying to make the most of it. And Dragon Gate in particular, they have gone from struggling to actually making profits on nearly every show because they stream it themselves. They get 100% of the profits. They sell the tickets. They sell the shows. And they're actually making money. Great! You know, and Ring of Honor, you know, 1,900 pay-per-view buys with no real national television, even HDNet. I mean, it's nothing even approaching the visibility of what TNA has on Spike TV. I mean, we have no idea how many people are watching that show. I mean, they could have had 1,000 people watching this show for all I know. Nobody knows. But the point is, you know, they're embracing a technology. They're doing the best with it. That's great for them. All I'm saying is that the technology has a long way to go. So in the case of UFC and showing these fights on Facebook, I mean, legitimately, nobody's watching these fights on Facebook right now. And when you say they're not going to have problems making stars, you're correct. You know, they're still going to be able to make stars. They're still going to be able to, you know, maybe tomorrow all of those fights are going to end in the first round. And they could show like 4 prelims that maybe also ended up in the first round. And it's going to work out in the end. But I would say, and I don't know if you agree with this, that it is harder. They are having a harder time making stars now than they were in 2006 and 2007. And the reason for that is because they have so many more fighters on the roster right now, and they have so many more shows that shows aren't special anymore, unless Brock Lesnar is fighting on them, for example. But if UFC is doing, I don't know, they've seemingly got a show nearly every weekend. Let's just say that they're doing a show every other week. They got 24, 25 shows every single year. Okay, they used to have, you know, 12 or less than 12. Now they're at more than 25. So it's not special to watch a UFC anymore. It's not special to see guys fighting on TV. You know, that first season of Ultimate Fighter, everybody was watching that show. It was new. It got huge ratings. A lot of their shows did big numbers. And so the guys that worked on the main card, they became big stars to a whole new generation of fans. Nowadays, when you've got all these shows, you know, every show is, you know, 300,000 buys is a bad number. But, you know, your television show ratings are all down from the peak. It's just there are less people watching each individual show. And when you load up the undercard with names, there are even less people watching those guys. And it's going to be harder to make stars than it was in 2006.
I do not disagree with that. You are absolutely right. But there's a whole different pro and con story to say about the fact that Dana wants to run and have a show somewhere in the world every single day. With the UFC logo attached to it, that's one of the problems that you get is for your longtime fans, their apathy does set in, and you do get the feeling of, you know, it's not special. That said, it's amazing right now with pay-per-view numbers, when a bad pay-per-view is still doing 300,000 buys, it's still a pretty epic thing.
It's still a pretty good thing, and I'm just... Well, we'll talk more about this after the break. I have some more things to say, and then we'll talk about some pro wrestling as well. Chavo Guerrero is gone. We'll talk about that and more. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 hours, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and MMA, head to WrestlingObserver.com. Good God, we've got a lot of stuff up this weekend, with more to come. Tonight, late this evening, Dave Meltzer and I are going to be on the air, and we are going to be talking, well, God knows, everything we've been talking about today. Plus, we'll tell you all about Nate Marquardt. We'll do a review of UFC on Versus. We'll do a review of the ROHI pay-per-view. We'll probably do a review of the Urban Wrestling pay-per-view. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Plus, earlier on this week, a couple of days ago, we had Strikeforce in Kent. We'll talk about that show. We'll talk about Bellator on Saturday night. It's going to be a ridiculously packed show that's going to be available only at WrestlingObserver.com for subscribers. Sign up. It's $10.99 per month. We have daily radio shows. If you love this show, if you love Wrestling Observer Live, then you will absolutely love a subscription to the website. You only get to hear this show once per week if you're listening for free. If you sign up, you get a show every single day. We have a ton of other shows available as well, including the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, which Mike Sempervivi is the host of, and 15 to 20 brand new radio shows every single week. Plus, you not only get all the new shows, but if you sign up right now, this moment, not only will you get tonight's show and all of the shows to come, but you have full access, no additional cost, full access to our archive, which dates back to 2005. That is 6 years of radio shows, thousands and thousands of shows, thousands of hours of audio, interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. We just had Batista on a couple of weeks ago. Bret Hart, Ric Flair has been on the show, Mick Foley, Bruno Sammartino, Chris Jericho, Lance Storm is on every other week. The list goes on and on. All of these available for you right now. It's only $10.99 a month. You can sign up for a one-time-only subscription, or you can sign up for recurring, which is bill you every month, and your subscription keeps going on forever. But all I have to say, as I say every week in my plug, if you like this show, I guarantee, I promise you, you will love a subscription to the website. And it's very cheap, $10.99 a month. So check it out. You cannot lose. If you love this show, you will love a subscription. So give it a try for a month. Check it out. I guarantee you'll love it. And if you don't, just don't sign up again. It's easy. All right, back to the discussion here of the future of MMA and pro wrestling as we dip further into the internet age. And you mentioned Dana wanting to run shows every single week or every single day, pretty much, all over the world. Ultimate Fighter all over the world. Different Ultimate Fighters in different countries, some of which would air in the U.S., others of which would not. And what that leads to me, is a situation where you have kind of what it is in boxing right now, but just for different reasons. Mike, if you asked your friends, name 10 boxers, how many of them could name 10?
That actually fight today?
Yes.
Probably none.
How many could name 5?
Very few. Very, very few.
How many could your average person name?
Honestly, you know, as much as people talk about Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Manny Pacquiao, to be honest with you, I don't even think the average person would even get them. But if they're going to get any of them, it's going to be those two. The odds are they'd still say Mike Tyson or Oscar De La Hoya instead of saying Vladimir Klitschko or David Haye.
It's never going to be that bad in MMA, I think, for a lot of different reasons, at least no time soon. But when you are running so many shows, and these shows are all over the world, and many of them will not be available on television. They'll only be available on the internet. You know, the number of different fighters you have that actually break through with the mainstream and become stars, the number is going to fall and fall and fall and fall. And, you know, when you think about licensing and merchandising in different countries and everything like that, I mean, if Dana White's dream comes true, yes, they're going to make tons and tons of money. But is it going to be like it was where your average person could maybe throw out the name Hoist Gracie and some, you know, some of the big names from the boom period of Ken Shamrock and Tito Ortiz, guys like that? You know, probably not. There'll be a guy like Brock Lesnar, maybe, or maybe the big heavyweight or somebody like that. But it's going to be a very, very different world if it expands to that level, simply because with so many shows and so, you know, so many shows on different television channels and throughout the world, some of them not on television in the U.S., it's just going to be harder and harder to get people over.
Oh, God, absolutely. And that, I mean, look at all the ways people said MMA was going to, I mean, we've been obviously watching MMA for some sort since like 1993. I think both of us have. So, you know, we saw the first UFCs and you heard all of that stuff of how it wasn't going to be like boxing, you know, with like the judging and with guys with drug tests and all of these things that the MMA fan at first said would never happen. It'll happen. It may take a long time for it to happen. It's going to take a long time for it to happen because the UFC, unlike boxing, has got almost everything under its own thumb for right now. But 20 years from now, when they're trying to promote all over the world and the Southeast, you know, Asian portion, you know, has got a problem with Dana and they break off on, I mean, there's all sorts of things that could happen. It's just going to happen way far down the line just because, I mean, the sport's only been around since 1993. It's only been around in this form since what? When was that first Ultimate Fighter show? 2005?
2005, 2006, yeah.
Yeah, whenever that was. So it's going to take a long time for it to happen, but it's going to happen. And we've already seen it now with people saying oversaturation and this, that, and the other. And it's like, well, look, they're not legal. They have problems in Germany. They're not legal in New York. They just got Toronto open. They have problems in Melbourne they can't get into. So it's like, you know, even though the apathy is setting in for the American fan because we're so used to this and we've been through, you know, some of us, so many phases of the UFC that, yeah, it looks like there's going to be some burnout there. But with that said, they have to keep chugging along like this until it is everywhere and until it is, you do have to ram it down people's throats. Obviously, people say they're not special anymore, and that's true. That is true. But when you know you've made it is like Major League Baseball, 162 games a year, and yeah, you don't watch all of those games, but hey, you know, you're always there. And the UFC, as far as being an accepted sport, I mean, they still have a long, long way to go. I mean, they're safe in some ways. Obviously, the Joe Rogan situation, and there's been some other things that have happened where they've been safe being a smaller company. But the thing is, you want to, if you're the sport of mixed martial arts, you want that mainstream acceptance. You want to be seen in newspapers and reported on ESPN in a good forum, and just they're going to still have to keep cranking like this for a long, long time.
That brings us to a wrestling topic, which, I don't know, to me it was a good segue. Maybe to no one else will understand my thought process, because I don't understand it half the time, but Chavo Guerrero Jr. is done with WWE, and I guess how I'm tying this together in my brain is we talk about MMA and we look at 2005 through 2011, all of the changes, and then we look at the direction that the sport is going and what Dana wants to do, and you look forward another 5-10 years, and you can see a lot of changes coming. And I'm tying this in with Chavo Guerrero because there was a time where you could not get people out of wrestling. Like, people when they got into wrestling, they had a passion for it. They loved it. It was all they wanted to do. It was their childhood dream, their life goal, and they got into it, and they did it, and maybe they got fired from somewhere, and they desperately tried to get in somewhere else, and they so badly wanted to be in wrestling, and they could just never get it out of their systems, and it took them forever to retire, and people retired a million times, and so on and so forth. It's very different now. I mean, we've had a trend in the last 5 years of people at a young age, per wrestling standards, just saying, okay, you know, I'm done with this for now. I'm going to, especially with WWE, I'm just going to walk away. And Chavo Guerrero has done that this week. He requested his release from WWE. He quit. He was very unhappy with a lot of things, probably dating all the way back to when he was doing the stuff with Hornswoggle, and he was doing it every week, and he was getting beat up by this little fella. And then, of course, he had the whole deal with Sin Cara, where he had to go on the road, and he had a pay-per-view match with Sin Cara, which weren't very good, and he probably got the blame for them, even though, quite frankly, he never was a luchador. So why they thought he was going to be able to do a lucha match with Sin Cara, who knows? But he finally said, I've had enough, and I'm getting out. And he's not the first. He will not be the last. And I don't know what that says about where wrestling is going to be in 10 years.
It's very troublesome. It's very, very troublesome. I mean, look, they're bringing look at the guys that have been back. I mean, you know, Shawn Michaels would be back this week on Raw. Obviously, it's for a promotional reason for his show. But the fact that, okay, him, Steve Austin, who is, you know, kind of overshadowed everybody, The Rock, who overshadowed everybody. I mean, guys like that where they were trained under an older system, and now you have guys, I mean, who knows what it's going to be like in 10 years, but I mean, for the older guys like Chavo, you might as well say, hey, I made my money here, how can he possibly be happy? And obviously he's not happy, he flat out said as much as far as, you know, not being happy about putting people over and being a wasted talent, which is amazing when you think about it. I mean, he's been there since 2001 now. I mean, he was one of the he may have been the last guy that came over from the WCW era who was active on the roster, I think.
He was the last one. He was the last one, yeah. Yep, the last one.
For him, I don't blame him. You know, he should have at this point made his money and probably saved his money. And why does he need the hassle? He said he wants to stay in wrestling. There's a lot of things he can do where now he can work at his own pace and make his, you know, he's got his own money. He can pick and choose what he wants, and he can be happy doing, you know, his craft. With that said, for the younger guys, you know, it's still going to be hard. I mean, it's amazing how fast WWE is just taking guys and chewing them up and spitting them out. I mean, the whole thing after the Spirit Squad, I mean, it's amazing that Dolph Ziggler even has legs right now, because look at Johnny Jeter, who wanted to get out altogether and quit completely. And you see, you know, guys who leave WWE and go to TNA and at least go, Jesus, thank God I'm not there anymore. It's amazing. Just the fact that the CM Punk, they're doing the same storyline he had in Ring of Honor, but the thing is, he may actually be leaving too. He's been one of their bright, shining stars, and it just, it's really too bad, because it's not, the passion of professional wrestling isn't there anymore, and they don't want it to be. They want it to be something else, but the problem is, it's the passion of the professional wrestling that they kept people into it for so long, and it was ingrained into people from an early age, and there's going to be groups of guys, including the wrestlers that get into business, that don't have that passion that, you know, stuck into them from an early time, and just look at it as a business, and I'm here to be in entertainment, and if I don't get a gig in a movie or something like that out of this, I'm just going to skip it and go do something else.
Yeah, a lot of tough enough style guys and even a lot of developmental guys where this is their childhood dream. They want to do it so bad. They get into it and the passion gets beaten out of them, and that's it. That's the end of their career. They go away. They don't come back. You know, and I don't know, Chavo, you know, it's just a lot of guys that have this lack of hope that things are going to get any better, or things are going to change. You know, Chavo obviously did not see the day where my hard work will pay off or my loyalty will pay off. He never saw that day coming. So he got out, and he's not the only one. I mean, Batista was on our show. He talked about how, I mean, you could tell he wouldn't bury WWE. He talked about all the things he didn't like about it, but you could tell that he still loved wrestling, and he said he'd love to come back and do, like, one more run leading up to a retirement of that sort of thing, but, you know, his passion was gone, and Chris Jericho walked away, and then he came back and walked away again, and God knows when he's going to be back, and you know, Shawn Michaels, some people... you know, I think Shawn himself would say Ric Flair, and others that watched a lot of wrestling in the 90s would say Kobashi, but for a lot of people, Shawn Michaels was like the best wrestler of all time. And Shawn Michaels, after the career he had and all the great matches and all the great WrestleManias, Shawn left. He's going to do a hunting show now. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to come back. He's done. He's just finished. And I don't think there's ever been a time like this in wrestling. I know that people are going to listen to this and think this is depressing and I'm being negative and that sort of thing, but these are all facts. These people have walked away, and we've never had a situation like this before in wrestling.
That's the thing. We're at a weird crossroads now of, again, because when did Shawn Michaels start wrestling? 1984, whatever it was? I mean, it's just... We're at a really weird crossroads for a lot of ways in professional wrestling, from the fans to the people getting into it to everything.
We're going to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment talking more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We do, in fact, have a very short segment here before we go to our top of the hour break. So I just wanted to very quickly ask Mike, as a man who lives in Delaware, a couple of days ago on the front page of the website, I posted a Briscoe's promo hyping up tonight's ROHI pay-per-view, which actually is probably over by the time you're listening to this. We taped this Saturday night. But anyway, I thought this was one of the most awesome promos of the year. A lot of other people disagreed. It was a very polarizing promo. And a lot of people took exception, not just to what the Briscoes said, and quite frankly, there was a lot of swearing in this promo, which I could talk about here in just a moment. But people said, rednecks, they just don't talk like this. And I found this criticism unbelievable. And Mike, you live in Delaware. Do rednecks done talk like that?
Oh, they sure do. In Delaware, you get a really weird mixture. You get a southern accent, an Eastern Shore Delmarva accent, mixed in with this Baltimore accent, mixed in with a Philadelphia accent, and that can sometimes lead to the Briscoes. And if nothing else, the Briscoes are as real as they showed in that promo, because Sussex County Champagne is natural light beer. They love playing with guns. They love shooting things. They have big jacked up trucks. They have their fields of planting. You know, you smell manure outside. Those are the type of guys that say, yeah, it smells like money. Yet the Briscoes are, they could not be any more real. No matter what you thought of that promo, and that, believe me, trust me, that was real.
I've interviewed the Briscoes. I have seen the Briscoes after ROH shows, and all I can tell you is they're the real deal. If the Briscoes are not for you, if you don't understand the promos, if you don't get the promos, if you don't like the promos, if you think they do too much in their matches, that's all fine and good. But believe me, these men are the real deal. What you see is what you get with the Briscoes. And I was told by somebody in ROH that these men, if need be, could cut a promo just as good and not say a single swear word, which they will have to do as ROH moves to the Sinclair Broadcasting Network. We're going to talk about that, list some affiliates after the break, and give you more info about their press conference a couple days ago. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare at WrestlingObserver.com. Fairly short segment here to kick off hour number two, but Mike, quickly, your thoughts on the Capital Punishment pay-per-view, which took place from Washington, D.C. last Sunday night.
Yeah, I remember talking about this last week, and it was like, well, there's some interesting stuff that could happen out of this, and it'll be some stuff to watch. And in a way that there was, in the fact that they had, you know, interviews after Ezekiel Jackson won the title, and they had MMA-style finishes. It's like there was an epiphany all of a sudden. They've done all this stuff over the last couple of shows on TV and at this pay-per-view, but unfortunately, it seemed like all the other nonsense stuff got in the way of the wrestling was not hideously awful or anything like that. It was just everything surrounding the matches that weren't the matches was the problem. And it was one of those times where it's like I kind of felt bad for the talent there, because if it wasn't for a lot of the nonsense that was on the show, like the dance contest with Vicky and Michael Cole, I guess that was Monday night, but they had some other wackiness on Sunday where it was just like that to me killed the flow of the show and actually hurt the guys that were on there.
We talked about Truth and how in the booking he really, well, he was the latest guy that was challenging John Cena but never actually got to pin John Cena and never really got one up on him except for winning some count outs, which nobody cares about, and some disqualification, which nobody cares about. And in the end, he went out there and unfortunately he had a Raw match. And they had a glorified Raw match. Cena won. A kid threw some water on Truth leading to the finish. You had your poetic justice, which I thought was at least nice. But now Truth is back to the upper mid-card again. Out of the title picture, CM Punk is being put in his place, building it up as perhaps Punk's last match in WWE. We'll talk about that booking after the break. But Truth, sad that he's out.
Well, yeah, and like I said last week, in a different era, this would be looking like, you know, 4 months and gone again because of the way they built him up, which was not well. So you go, where does he go from here? And hopefully he stays, hopefully he can stay serious, which on Monday didn't look like.
I'll be back in just a moment, talk more about Punk, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, also at WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. At the TLC pay-per-view, CM Punk has announced his WWE contract is going to expire. He says he is going to win the title from John Cena. He says he is going to take the title with him out of WWE. And a lot of people talking about this. No real hard news one way or the other, although, based on the way they're doing this, based on the way they're promoting this, my gut feeling is that he has resigned. It's all a swerve, and he shall stay with WWE. I don't expect him to win the title, although there is a possibility as some people have speculated, which when these things get speculated about, oftentimes WWE goes, well, it's not enough of a surprise. Let's change it. But some people have speculated there is the possibility that CM Punk could, in fact, beat John Cena, and then a Money in the Bank winner cashes it in and steals it from him on his supposed last day. He takes time off, perhaps through the summer, and makes his big return in the fall. Where do you think this is all going, Mike? Do you think this is a swerve, or do you think he's actually out of here?
Part of me just thinks it's a swerve because, what, about a month ago we were talking about it all being amped up about the possibility of him leaving and his contract running out, and then all that kind of went away. He started getting wins again on TV, and obviously this could be leading to, I mean, he could be taking time off. I mean, if nothing else, at least they have something here. Now, the bad part is if he is not re-signing, it's bad for everybody involved, including the fan at home watching, because he's been absolutely fantastic and pretty much has been since day one there. But it's, you know, if nothing else, they at least have something here. He did the exact same thing in Ring of Honor, almost to a T, and then ended up, you know, winning the belt or retaining the belt through where Jamie Noble, was the one who ended up beating him after his ROH contract was over and after he was already supposed to be, you know, WWE bound or OVW bound at the time. So I just think he's probably re-signed in a way for his sake. I hope he hasn't, because obviously he's somebody they'd bring back. And obviously the way he's going out, he's certainly somebody that they would bring back. But, you know, we saw this with Christian, too, I think, before he went to TNA. So I don't know. I mean, if nothing else, they really do have intrigue there. But it's going to be – it's awful as a fan if he goes, because he's been – for as much as they've done with him and not done with him over time, I think he's been incredibly underutilized in that he may be a prick for all I know. But realistically – he's drug-free. He's one of those guys that is, you know, a younger fan base skews to him. His mouth is fantastic. He's a great character who I think they've really underutilized as far as PR work and things like that go, and as far as, you know, really driving it home how good he is and utilizing him better. You know, again, he faced Rey Mysterio. He faced Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania last year, didn't he? I mean, it's just they go to the same things over and over again where, you know, for him, he could probably use a break right now. And if he is leaving, it's not going to be good for anybody involved, especially WWE and especially the fan base at home, because he's so versatile. He's so good. And it's just going to be a big hole and big shoes to fill.
Now, did you say you hope he has or he has not re-signed?
Well, for his sake, in a way, I hope he hasn't, because he's still now in a position of strength. It's not like WWE is going to build stars or have a bunch of stars come back where when it's time for CM Punk, you know, after his break to let his body heal up and everything like that. I mean, he obviously hasn't lost any money, so he's got that, and he's going to be playing from a position of strength. So for him, I don't blame him. I would take time off, actually, right now. But then again, if he's re-signed, then he's playing from a position of power there, too, where he probably got some of the things that he's wanted if he is going to re-sign, which that's a good thing there, too. But, you know, for his sake, for his body and his mental state, I kind of hope he does get time off, because he can. With that said, for everybody else in the equation, it's a bad thing.
There was a time where the easiest way to get a better deal with WWE was to leave. And you would leave, and they would move on as usual without you. And then at some point, they'd realize, my God, we sure could use Chris Jericho back, or whoever the case might be. Plus, there's the psychology with Vince McMahon of, if he fires you, or he releases you, or anything of that nature, then he doesn't see you of value. But if you leave him, then he wants you. He wants to prove that you must work for him. So really, the psyche of Vince McMahon, it's better to walk away. It's better to just leave. Now, I think things are different nowadays. Yes, you know, CM Punk leaving, if he leaves, he's going to be offered a better deal when he returns. But if you look at, like, the current roster, the current depth, it may have been a deal where simply threatening to leave was enough to get him as great a deal as if he'd actually left and come back. They can't even afford for anybody to leave anymore. You know, I talked about this a while back. There's usually, like, the post-WrestleMania spring cleaning. And, you know, there's like, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys after WrestleMania every year that get axed. Guess what we didn't have this year? We didn't have the post-WrestleMania spring cleaning. We've had a couple of guys dropped here, a couple of guys dropped there. Actually, I can't even say a couple here and a couple there, because that's 4. I don't even think we've had 4. You know, very, very, very few people are being released nowadays. You know, Chavo quit, but the roster is so depleted that they can't afford to get rid of anybody. So if CM Punk, and the key to CM Punk, the key to this with him as opposed to other people, is I think everybody in WWE knows, because, you know, people that know him will tell you this, he doesn't care. He does not care whether he works in WWE or he doesn't. He saved his money. He doesn't live beyond his means. He would be perfectly happy leaving WWE, walking away, and taking an extended amount of time off. So this being common knowledge, he's already in a better spot. He doesn't care. And he can easily tell them, okay, these are my demands, and I'm not messing around. If you do not give me what I want, I'm out of here. And I think they know that he will leave. So he may have already got everything he asked for. He may already have re-signed. And there you go. It is a great time. In some ways, it is a great time to be part of WWE. You know, in some ways, it's not, because as we talked about earlier, the passion has been beat out of so many people. But if you still do have a passion, it's kind of a good time to be there right now. They need main eventers. They need new stars. They need new bodies. And so a lot of guys, it's not to threaten to walk away, and they'll get a better deal. It's just the way it is right now. It's a great benefit to those guys, not so much to WWE.
Oh, God, yeah. But, and, you know, you got another one in Punk who, again, didn't come up through that system. It's bad for the guys who are supposedly coming up through that system. I mean, look at The Miz. just look at The Miz and what's happened to him. And he's a guy that should be in a far better position than he's in right now as far as being taken care of. And you see where he's at right now. You saw where Sheamus was for most of last year. I mean, it's just Wade Barrett, they've got now basically in a cruising position right now to see what they're going to do with him next. I mean, it's great if you're in that upper echelon, if you're the Punks. The Cena is on another stratosphere. He doesn't even count. But if you're in Punk's class, yeah, I mean, you really are playing from a position of strength. The problem is, and this is where it's so great for him, in a year, obviously right now bringing in Austin and doing some things like they've been doing, this should be a big smokescreen to get guys like Alex Riley, who in another dimension would be still in OVW right now. We wouldn't even see how close he actually is, because he would be getting more refined. Well, that era's over with. So they should be using these guys as a smokescreen to try to build up younger guys and to try to get their house in order, but they never seem to do it. And then the year after a year goes by, what's probably going to change? Say CM Punk comes back, odds are they're going to be still spinning their wheels with all these other guys, because that's what they're doing. Look at Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston wrestling 3 million times. Look at Jack Swagger and Evan Bourne. They've done this since ECW. I mean, it's just they keep spinning, and it doesn't look like anything's going to change.
It's not even upper mid-carders, because when you really think about it,
there is no upper mid-card, really, too, by the way.
Well, there is that argument, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, Sin Cara, and granted, he's kind of an exception because he was Triple H's first hire, but a guy like Sin Cara, who they bring up, and he doesn't get over, like, in the first 2 weeks, you know, 3 years ago, he'd have been gone. He'd have been sent back to developmental. But nowadays, they got to keep giving the guy chances. You look at a guy like Ted DiBiase. Look at Ted DiBiase's last year and a half, 2 years. Ooh. He's the kind of guy who should be axed immediately after WrestleMania, had it been like 3 years ago. Instead, now that it's 2011 and the roster is so thin, you know, he's had a horrible year. And now they're like, well, maybe we shouldn't have done this. Let's give him another chance. Guys are getting more chances now. We're going to talk about this more after the break. A lot of stuff to get into as far as news as well. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 40 minutes, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Coming up tonight, lots of stuff. We've got the ROH pay-per-view is either wrapped up or just about to wrap up, as of the time you're listening to this. In mere moments, Nate Marquardt is going to make a statement. At least that was the news we had as of Saturday night. Scheduled to make a statement about why he has been removed from the main event of UFC on Versus against Rick the Horror Story. And that, of course, is starting at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, UFC on Versus. Also, at 5 o'clock p.m., moments after this show goes off the air, it is the first ever Urban Wrestling Federation pay-per-view. This was taped quite a while back. I shouldn't say quite a while, several weeks back. It is debuting on pay-per-view tonight. And, Mike, what do you know about the Urban Wrestling Federation?
Well, I'll say this: at least they're trying in the at the Bellator show on Saturday night. They did run commercials for the fact that they're going to be airing a pay-per-view tomorrow night. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of new concept shows. Obviously, Ring of Honor with Sinclair isn't exactly a concept show, but it's a concept for Sinclair as far as using the show to farm it out to their stations and then possibly selling it off to other markets where they don't have owned and operated stations. Dragon Gate, obviously, on iPay-Per-View. You've got a new group starting up that'll include Sanjay Dutt and Muhammad Hassan, but Sean Daivari, where they're going to do basically like a team series from places from around the globe that these guys will be coaching and being captains of a team on. And then you have this one, so you can't say that there's not wrestling out there. Now, how good it is, I don't know yet. I guess we'll find out tonight. But, you know, they've used guys who have been around for a while. I recognize, you know, a bunch of the names on there. Obviously, you know, Rashid Brown, who's wrestled for Ring of Honor before. And, you know, there's a couple of name guys on there. But it's, for the most part, it's just a new concept. Obviously, they're going to be a little more hardcore. There's the return of tables and things like that, and guys smashing through stuff. So just kind of have to see how things go. It's, you know, from Big Vision, and you know, they've gotten, at least they try to get behind stuff, WSX, and, you know, there's been a lot of other stuff out there, too. So it's just, it's another new concept, and we'll see if it has legs. If history is any indication, probably not, but I guess we'll have to see.
It's so hard to be a promotion nowadays and run on pay-per-view. I mean, it's always been hard. I mean, you know, going back, I mean, even TNA, 8,000 buys on pay-per-view for a bad show. You know, it's very, very difficult, especially, I mean, without television, it's virtually impossible. And I think, you know, I think that we were talking earlier about Facebook, you know, UFC shows on Facebook and Ring of Honor on HDNet. And the Urban Wrestling Federation people, I mean, they've done a good job as far as spreading the word on the internet sites. I mean, we've put up videos, we put up press releases. I know all the other sites have as well. But thing is, I mean, you know, when you look at, like, Ring of Honor, I mean, we put up press releases about Ring of Honor. We put up videos about Ring of Honor when they've got an iPay-Per-View coming up. We do the same thing with Dragon Gate USA. And granted, you're probably going to get more buys on traditional pay-per-view because, again, it's on the television. And all you have to do is turn on your television if you've got cable and order the show. So it's a lot easier than having to hook up the computer to the TV or even just watching on the computer. But still, you know, all that promotion that ROH gets, for example, I'll just throw out ROH, their big December show, their final battle show at the end of 2010. I mean, we had people on the show plugging it. We had wrestlers on our show. You know, other websites had interviews with wrestlers. Our website and other websites aired press releases and videos and the whole thing. Still only did 1,000, you know, 1,900 buys, which, again, for Ring of Honor, that's very good. You know, 1,900 buys on internet pay-per-view is very good, but it's still 1,900 buys. So I just, it feels like they're startup companies that just feel, okay, it's 2011. You know, we've got all of these avenues of promotion on the internet. You know, we can make some money by promoting heavy on all the wrestling sites and that sort of thing. And the problem is you just have to have good television. And even good television isn't a guarantee because, again, as noted, TNA's got great television. You know, Spike TV on prime time, and now they've got Spike TV on prime time with a replay on Tuesday nights, and 8,000 buys on pay-per-view. You know, less than 1% of the amount of people that watch their show on Spike TV are actually buying the pay-per-views. It's really an astounding stat. WWE's at 3%. You know, TNA's at 1% of 1.5, 1.7 million viewers. So take away that 1.7 million viewers and think about the number of people that are going to buy your pay-per-view. It's minuscule. And the cost to get in the pay-per-view, it's just, it's really hard. And I don't think it's going to get any easier.
I don't think so either. And, you know, TNA is actually getting a replay now on MTV Trace as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of surprised me on Tuesday when I saw it pop up on Spike again. And then I just was going through the channels again and saw it on Trace. Did they announce this and I missed it? Because I don't think they did a very good job of, like, cranking out there the fact that this thing is going to be replayed.
No, I don't think they mentioned it at all. Well, I think they figure that if you're watching it, why would you need to be told when you can watch it again? You're watching it.
I guess that's a good point, and from how replays and TNA have worked in the past, it really doesn't matter.
You know, the thing also, when you talk about, let's just say that I wanted to run a wrestling company, and I decided, okay, I'm gonna heavily market to the internet, because there's so many more avenues to market. We can use YouTube, we can use Facebook, you know, we can use wrestling websites, you know, there's so many different places. That is true. But the problem is, when new avenues open up, you know, in 5 years, there's going to be other avenues. I mean, 5 years ago, you know, what was Twitter 5 years ago? What was Facebook even 5 years ago? You know, we don't know what things are going to be, you know, available for internet promotion in 5 years. But the key to me is that as new avenues open up to attempt to market your product on the internet, what is also opening up on the internet is ways to view other products. So, you know, like you said, there's no shortage of wrestling available. And it's like what we're talking about with UFC. I mean, it's not special to see men fighting on television anymore. In 2005, it was really special to see two dudes hit each other in the face on television. You know, you could watch boxing or whatever, but if you wanted to see a guy do an arm bar on a guy, it was still really special to see it on TV. Now when you look at, you know, there's Ultimate Fighter, there's Fight Nights, there's UFC Unleashed, there's all of these shows. It's not special to see a guy getting armbarred anymore. And, you know, maybe if it was just WWE and TNA, then if the opportunity came to watch Urban Wrestling Federation or ROH or Dragon Gate or any of these other promotions came up, you'd go, oh, wow, here's something different that I can check out. But the reality is there are so many options right now. And there's so many options, particularly if you're on the internet, that you know, promoting a product on the internet, you know, you're promoting to people that already have a million other options.
Yeah, and that was the thing too. Like watching the clip of the Urban Wrestling Federation. Obviously, they have to be something, but you know, kind of. I watched the commercial. I'm thinking, okay, you know, for the average person out there, what would make you want to buy this thing? You know, what it's this, and it's going to be interesting to see. Maybe it gets a certain segment, like the same way Chikara does, where they have a loyal, and you can build up a fan base that way, where you can survive and eat and stuff like that. But I wonder, again, because there's so many things like this that pop up, it's like, you know, are they in this thing for the long haul, or are they just trying to have a show, putting it up there and going, well, let's see if we can market it, and then they're done with it? Which is, you know, a very good possibility, considering that happens incredibly often.
I wish him luck. There's a lot of names on the show. Ricky Reyes is on the show. Who else have we got? Sanjay Dutt, Eddie Kingston. Homicide is a part of the show. Rashi Brown, as you noted. Scorpio Sky. Ricky Ortiz, formerly of WWE.
Rally Tell.
Yeah, ECW when Tiffany was in charge. So a lot of names on the show, and it's very different from your average wrestling promotion. It's more I don't even know really how they're describing it. There are a lot of rappers are involved in it. Number of them, actually. And anyway, the point of this is I'm going to be buying the show, and we'll see how it does on pay-per-view. But it's very hard right now. It's very, very hard. And we'll see how it goes. Steve Carroll, formerly of ECW, is the man behind this. So we shall see how it goes. A new level out of the box, counterculture wrestling, he is calling it. So we shall see how that works out in 2011. Some other notes here before we head to the break. A new Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels DVD. DVD is being produced by WWE. They're going to get two chairs. They're going to sit opposite each other, and they're going to discuss their storyline leading up, I guess, to the end of Bret Hart in WWE, which, of course, was the Montreal Screwjob. It's not going to be all about the Screwjob. They, of course, had matches, I'd have to go back to see when their first matches were with Hart Foundation versus the Rockers, but early 90s. They did tag team stuff, and then they broke off, and as singles wrestlers, they had some matches, and obviously all led up to the big November 1997 match, but should be a fascinating DVD.
Yeah, and it should sell really well, too, and they'll be able to hype this one up through the roof. It'll be interesting to see if there's, Sunny Days comments are touched on or anything like that, because there is some homogenizing, obviously, that does take place when it comes to WWE DVDs, but it's probably going to sell real well, and, it'll be interesting to see what the spin is from both guys, and if there's a spin from WWE after this whole thing shakes out and we see the final version of it.
I think there's going to be a Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho DVD as well, which is very interesting. They had an awesome feud, Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho. It involved, of course, the Shawn Michaels eye injury, which he actually had an eye injury at the time. He was having some eye problems, so they turned it into storyline. Anyway, the point of this is that that storyline was supposed to only go about a month. And they got a hold of it, and luckily they stretched it out for like a half a year, 6, 7, 8 months. So I'm sure they'll talk a lot about that. And Batista said they did the same thing with him and Triple H. They wanted to rush it, and Hunter talked him into doing it at WrestleMania. Talk more about that after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final major segment here on the show, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Brian Alvarez here, along with Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. All of this available at WrestlingObserver.com. And for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates. We got columns, and we got radio shows. I've said it before. If you love this show, I guarantee, I promise you, that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 per month. We do daily radio shows. If you love this show and you only get to hear it one time per week, you are missing out, my friend. Daily news updates, daily radio shows. Mike, of course, does the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare with Adam Summers. We have a number of other shows as well. Tough Talk Radio, Five Star Radio, both talking mixed martial arts. We've got Alan 4L's show, Dr. Keith Presents, talking about international pro wrestling, as Adam and Mike do as well. Doc Young, Les Thatcher, Wrestling Weekly. Of course, the Brian and Vinny show, Figure Four Daily, Wrestling Observer Radio. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two, and people are going to kill me, but go up to WrestlingObserver.com, click the audio tab. Carl Stern, the Carl Stern audio show, talking the history of wrestling. Go up to WrestlingObserver.com and click on the audio tab. You can see all of the shows that you can't listen to if you're a freeloader. If you love this show, sign up, not only to get all of the brand new shows, including tonight's Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer talking about all the shows and news of the weekend, but you get every radio show we have ever done dating back to 2005. They're all available in the archives. There is no extra charge for the archives. Your $10.99 essentially gets you everything we have done for 6 years. Thousands and thousands of hours of audio, thousands of shows, interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. Dave Batista was on a couple of weeks ago. We've had Chris Jericho, Ric Flair, Mick Foley, Bret Hart, Bruno Sammartino, Lance Storm is on every other week. The list goes on and on. A cornucopia of major names in the history of wrestling. All available in the archives right now. They're all searchable. Head up there and check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. I'll say it again. If you love this show, I promise that you will love a subscription to the website. And hey, if you don't like it, it's $10.99. You never have to sign up again. It's all you have to do. Check it out. Give it a try. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. WrestlingObserver.com. Head up there. Mike, a lot of shows going on. You saw Bellator. Is that correct? Mike?
There we go.
What happened?
That's the mute button I didn't realize I hit.
So, I thought I gave such a great spiel that you fell asleep.
That's never would I do that. Actually, I was just checking the WOL is the Wrestling Observer Live Twitter that we actually have up now, too.
That's right. And Facebook, facebook.com/official Brian Alvarez. You can also go to facebook.com and type in Wrestling Observer Live Official and friend both those pages. I got updates there all the time, so check it out. Anyway, Bellator, tell us about
it. Yes, this was the featherweight quarterfinals took place, and basically, I won't run through the whole thing. It was, you know, again, they seem to do pretty decently when it comes to between live viewers and the replays. I don't know what the life expectancy of Bellator is going to be on M2, but I think they've really, to me, they've done a good job maximizing as much as they could out of it, and they put on some, you know, pretty decent shows. Obviously, when you compare it to the UFC, the level of talent they have outside of a handful of guys, it's, you know, you're not even playing the same game, but it was, you know, some pretty fun fights. Ronnie Mann blowing away Adam Schindler, just using his, you know, just good straight punching around Schindler's kind of wild punching and knocked him out in the first round. So, you know, the show started off with a bang there. Nazareno Maglery, I believe is his name, beat Jacob Devery. He looked like he would submit him in the first round with a guillotine, then again with an ankle lock. He kept going for the guillotine, almost got him in the second round, and then got him for good in the third round. Marvin Sandow won a split decision over Jair da Silva, and Pat Curran, who is one of the few names, I mean, outside of Pat Curran, Joe Warren, there's not a whole lot of guys in Bellator who are even familiar names to the average MMA fan, but Curran's one of them, and he quickly submitted Luis Palomano. So the featherweight quarterfinals are over. The semifinals and final are going to take place at the same time that Warren defends his featherweight championship, and all this is leading up to a number one contendership to face whoever the champion is going to be, but he'll be defending his title coming up. And they did do a good job, too, on the show, which they have done as well, going over their next couple of shows coming up in July and August, and they did a good job kind of driving the point home that, you know, there are going to be shows coming up, and they did a decent enough job there. The only part that scared me a little bit was they were repaying Joe Warren's favor of doing some announcing on Impact back by hyping up Impact during the show, which just seemed to be so out of place for anyone that watches Impact.
Well, they've been doing it a lot, and so the idea is that a lot of people are speculating that if UFC leaves Spike, Bellator may end up on Spike TV, and that would explain the cross-promotion.
And it's, you know, it's a great idea for Bellator, obviously, getting off M2 and getting onto Spike, who, you know, and it still matters somewhat, and the glut of television and the 5 million channels and on-demand and everything that we all get to have a good channel space is still pretty good, and Spike, for the most part, everywhere in the country has got clearance and is somewhere between, you know, Channel 2 and Channel 99 on most cable systems, and M2 is usually up in a digital tier somewhere hiding in, you know, 140 or whatever it may be on your cable system. So, you know, for Bellator, it's a great idea, and for Spike it is too. Look, I mean, it's got to be cheaper than the UFC as far as rights go and as far as paying into, so
sure,
it's not a bad idea there. Outside of TNA, what draws ratings for them? You know, 1,000 Ways to Die, Repo Games, and all the other types of shows that they have on there that they repeat over and over and over again. I mean, it's a good idea for Spike, obviously still, you know, focusing their shows at men if they do lose the UFC to Versus, and Versus does expand out into becoming Universal Sports or NBC Sports or whatever it's going to become. I think it's a good idea.
The MMA bill for New York, dead, which means next year they got to start all over again. It's stalled again, Ways and Means Committee. I guess maybe, what would it be, fourth time the charm?
It's going to get close here. Gay marriage is passed in New York, so you can see two men or two women get married, but you cannot see them fight each other, which, you know, if you've ever seen married folks of any kind after a while, you know how much they want to fight. So we need to get MMA legalized in New York. But again, you know, sooner or later it's going to happen. This is another one that's just obviously going to take some time. When you look at the polling and some of the stuff up there, it really boggles your mind. But sooner or later it's going to happen. Hopefully it's next year. But again, I don't know how long it's going to take. It shouldn't be taking this long. It should already be legal there. But since it's not, we may just have to wait till new blood, younger blood, who actually gets it, can put it through, but there was really no reason that it shouldn't have gone through this time outside of laziness from politicians just kind of rubber stamping what they were doing before, because again, in 2011, as bad as that state needs money, and the fact that the UFC can run three shows there in Buffalo, definitely in Madison Square Garden, and then at least another show there a year because they have so many, to miss out on that tax revenue, especially with Toronto just kind of standing there over the lake waving at Albany, you know, making fun of the fact that they made all the tax money and had all the people go over the border to go over there to watch that show and be a part of that. It's just, sooner or later, it's got to change.
Raw last Monday night was the People's Choice episode of the show, and it was a disaster. They did text message voting. You had to choose A, B, or C. You had to text the same A, B, or C to the same number for the following matches. Ended up with some real weirdness. Bunch of late votes for Kelly Kelly ended up coming in for the second match, which was expected to be Sin Cara. He was scheduled to... what the hell was that match? It was Sin Cara versus...
Evan Bourne.
Evan Bourne and the big guy.
Jack Swagger and Mason Ryan were
Mason
the other
two. Ryan. I've lost my mind here at... here in the late Saturday night. But yes, the votes came in for the big dude, so he got the vote. Nobody expected that to happen. The match was not a disaster, but they certainly had to call the whole thing on the fly. And there you go. It was 3 hours of wackiness, and what did you think of the show?
It was 3 hours, and I'm thinking, you know, they're hyping up Raw Roulette the next week with Shawn Michaels. Like, God, how many... We have had some variety gong show Raws here in the last couple of weeks. And granted, there's been a lot over the last couple of going on years now, seemingly, as well. But what a waste of 3 hours in a lot of ways. Again, like I said earlier, the dance contest, and that's a problem. I mean, all of the WWE stuff, for the most part, that doesn't have to do with actual wrestling in the ring, the problem is it's just all running together. It's just guys are on every show. Wackiness that you can't retain because you don't want to retain it, you know, like the dance contest, and the announcing is what it is. I love Booker T. Love Booker T my whole life. I wish Booker T would just get paid because he's awesome, but I don't want to hear him announce anymore. The fact that Cole and Lawler kissed and made up without any problem, and then you still have Cole kind of every once in a while falling off the wagon and supposed to be healing, and just the whole thing just was... It almost melts your brain. And after watching Capital Punishment, where there was so much nonsense, it was a bad extension leading into Monday.
I am just so glad that Raw Monday is not 3 hours long.
Yeah, yes. And it's just, what are they going to do for next week? Do they have anything announced for the next Monday where they're not going to have Shawn Michaels and they're not going to have a three-hour gimmick or a Raw Roulette gimmick? I mean, what's the gimmick going to be for Raw 2 weeks from now? Will they actually just have a build to the pay-per-view? That would be nice.
Hopefully the gimmick is just it's Raw on Monday night.
That would be good.
I'm just back to normal. Yeah, it was just, you know, it's really hard for the creative team. You know, they had to do a three-hour Raw, and then they had to do a three-hour pay-per-view, and then another three-hour Raw, not to mention two two-hour SmackDowns. So you're talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 hours in 8 days of television. And that's not counting stuff like Superstars, which they don't put a lot of thought into. But, you know, 13 hours of programming, that's why things happen that, you know, the text message voting. You know, in hindsight, people are like, oh, my God, why didn't they think of this? Why didn't they think about, you know, they should have texted, you should have made people text Sin Cara, for example, or Cara instead of C, you know, or text Kelly instead of B. You know, and they didn't think about that. And people were like, oh, my God, I can't believe that they did this. They didn't think that the B votes might come in later. Or, you know, when you send a text message and sometimes it doesn't show up in your friend's phone for 3 hours, they didn't think about that sort of thing happening. No, they didn't, because they couldn't think about anything because they were running 13 hours of television in 8 days. It's just too much.
God, yeah. It's one of those things. As good as they are with all that stuff as far as, you know, production usually, you know, just all of those things where, again, that was just dumb. It was just, no one thought to plan for this, but then you think about it, like you said, with all that time and everything, it's just, no, nobody did. It's just, it's too bad that they missed the plot so often for, stuff that they've been so good at and they built the whole thing on over the years, it's just, it does make you kind of shake your head and scratch it a little bit when you go, good God, you know, how do you make these mistakes? But it does happen.
All right, very quickly here, if you live in the following cities, you can see ROH on Sinclair. Baltimore, Birmingham, Buffalo, Cedar Rapids, Champaign, Springfield, Charleston, South Carolina, Charleston, Huntington, West Virginia, Cincinnati, Columbus, Dayton, Des Moines, Flint, Greensboro, Greenville, Spartanburg, Asheville, Las Vegas, Lexington, Madison, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Mobile, Nashville, Norfolk, Oklahoma City, Paducah, Cape Girardeau, Peoria, Pittsburgh, Portland, Raleigh, Richmond, Durham, Rochester, New York, San Antonio, Syracuse, Tallahassee, and Tampa, St. Petersburg. Sinclair.
Ring of Honor, it plays in Peoria.
We'll be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the final couple of moments here on the show. We just read out a list of the television affiliates for Sinclair, where you can see ROH when they start on TV coming up this fall. You can Google it. Google ROH Sinclair. Check out the ROH website. I'm sure it's up there somewhere. They made the announcement a couple of weeks ago, but those are the affiliates for now. If those shows do well in the particular market, if the show does well in St. Petersburg, for example, and all of the affiliates do good numbers, they will try to start expanding it outside of those areas. But for now, it'll be strictly the stations that we read before the break. If you're listening to this online, you can go back and check those affiliates again. But we'll be talking about that more. It's still several months away. So we'll give out the list again as the days and months roll on. As noted, the ROH pay-per-view is over. Dave Meltzer and I are going to be running down the results of the show later on this evening at WrestlingObserver.com, as well as, get ready, the results of the Strikeforce show in Kent on Friday night. More on Bellator from last night. We'll talk about the ROH iPay-per-view as noted. We'll talk about the Versus, UFC on Versus tonight without Nate Marquardt. He is making an announcement as we speak about why he is not on the UFC Versus show, why he has been pulled, and why he is no longer with UFC. That's taking place anytime now with Ariel Helwani. And we'll also talk about the Urban Wrestling Federation pay-per-view, which is beginning in moments, as soon as this show goes off the air. That's later on tonight. So, a lot of stuff coming up. Make sure you check out WrestlingObserver.com. As noted, I do radio shows every single day. Mike Sempervivi and Adam Summers do shows every single day. And Mike, when's the next big show coming up?
Actually, we're going to probably record it sometime tomorrow, actually, talking all about New Japan, the Dominion show, saw a little of that, saw a little of the Super Juniors, saw a little of a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to talk about coming up this Monday.
Japanese pro wrestling and hockey, everybody, on the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, so make sure you check that one out. That is it from here. I want to thank everyone very much for listening today. We apologize to have taped in advance. The ROH pay-per-view kind of got in the way today, but check out the site later on for more, WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.